Well, we're all playing musical chairs. Now there's children in a schoolhouse playing the game. Get five chairs, six little dears move to the music. They dance in a circle, so anxious and hopeful each one. When the music stops, another child is gone. It's musical chairs, it's musical chairs. Get up and dance, there's no need for fear. Our seats will be taken, so a fuss don't be making. We're all playing musical chairs. She took her family on the highway. Graceland tape was playing when the windshield it shattered and glass fell like rain. She gave up her seat, but her loved ones remained. Now they are dancing, but she's out of the game of musical chairs. Just musical chairs, all get up and dance. Ain't no need for fear. Our seats will be taken, so a fuss don't be making. We're all playing musical chairs. Let's cry, 'cause a chance like this one, it don't come back too often. Let's soften our minds for defeat. Feel the glory in moving our feet. Yeah. Coffee, your wife in the bedroom, there was no way to stop it. Your chair got taken, but I won't complain. Oh, you always understood, and you so loved the game. You gave a flawless performance, and when curtain call came, you bowed out gracefully and danced off the stage. And it was musical chairs, just musical chairs. Oh, get up and dance, there's no need for fear. Our seats will be taken, so a fuss don't be making. We're all playing musical chairs. Yeah, we're all playing musical chairs. Oh, we're all playing musical chairs.
That's Peter Willie Youngtree with a new song, Musical Chairs. It's going to be on his new album, 10 Million Ways to Decay. We're at Folk Music Ontario. We're in our mobile studio that some people would say is just a hotel room, but it's not. It becomes a studio when Folk Roots Radio is at the conference. Great to have you join us, Peter.
Nice to talk to you again, Jan. Thank you.
I had a chance to interview Peter when his last album, Country Hymns, came out. He hails from St. John's. He's in Ontario for the conference. And we're going to be chatting about the new album. Tell us a little bit about how you developed that incredible voice, Peter, because when I watch you play and then I hear you sing, it's like, okay, this must be coming from another place completely.
Yeah, I think it is. I have no idea. The producer of the album, Chris Kirby, when he first approached me, he said something like, the horn doesn't match the car or something like that. But yeah, I don't know where my voice came from. Really, it's I think, well, in part it was developed from influences like the person who conceived of that song, which was Musical Chairs, which was my uncle Ray, but also listened to just a lot of old music, Johnny Cash and Hank Williams and Everly Brothers, and I don't, somehow it all got in a big ball and I started singing like I sing now.
So that song has quite a story to it, so why don't you tell us that?
Yeah, it was my, when I was, well, you know, this whole album, as its name implies, is a lot about dying, and when I was a kid, about not quite 4 years old, my aunt, who was one of my caretakers, she died in a car accident, which is what referenced in the second verse, and my uncle, Ray, he wrote a song called Musical Chairs that drew an analogy between life and death and the game of musical chairs, a children's game. And when I started writing songs in my 20s, a lot of my family would tell me about this song he'd written and how good it was, and I would always be after him to play it for me, and he wouldn't. But I managed to get his lyric book from him. And while that lyric book was sitting in my drawer, in my desk, in my studio, Ray, my uncle, actually was just drinking coffee one morning and just collapsed and had a heart attack and he died. And so I took the basic premise of the song and I kind of refashioned it, and that's what came out of that.
The new album, when are we going to get that? Do you know when that's going to be made available?
I really hope like March or April of 2018, yeah.
Okay.
We're almost finished production. There still has to be artwork done. There still has to be mixing and mastering and all that sort of thing. And printing, so hopefully April, yeah.
So it has this theme of death. Does that tend to go through a lot of the songs on the album?
Yeah. Most of the songs are somehow about death or reference it in some fashion or another. Sometimes in more esoteric ways and sometimes in more concrete ways. Sometimes it's about, you know, physical death, and sometimes it's about death of other intangible things like relationships or also just about transition, so moving from one thing to another, you know, sloughing off parts of yourself and going into something new, kind of rebirth, you know.
Your last album, Country Hymns, was very well received. Do you see the new album as a progression from that?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's you know, it has a kind of pretty coherent theme to it. Country Hymns did somewhat as well, but this one is more intentional. Our whole style of approaching the recording process was different. You know, Country Hymns, we just went into the studio and played the songs. Everybody, I sang it, you know, all at once, and we just did takes until we had one that I was happy enough with, I guess. And that's what went on the album, but this we did it differently. You know, we laid bed tracks all down, so the whole band that we're now called The Blooms and I spent 4 days in Norris Arms in retreat style setting, working, you know, 10 and 14 hour days and just get 10 songs, bed tracks down for those in 4 days, and then I put all the acoustic guitars and lead vocals on afterward. So yeah, it's going to be a bit more polished sounding, yeah, so there's there's a song with some kind of odd time signature on there and changes. Yeah, a little slight bit of more production. We're not like overproducing it, but yeah, just putting a little bit more polished, I think.
But still having that gritty sound, because I think one of the things about the Country Hymns album was that it had that real stripped down feel to it, you know, and that was one of the things that struck me when I first listened to it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh wow, this is a bit different.
Yeah.
You know, particularly coming from a young guy like yourself.
Yeah. It was really important to me with Country Hymns to have myself laid bare, have the music laid bare, and not try to hide anything, or I don't know what I was. I wanted the foibles. I wanted the mistakes on there as well. I wanted, you know, this recording is not the song. The song is the song. The recording is this particular instance of the song, and that's what you're getting. So, and I kind of carry that philosophy with music anyway. You know, every time I perform a song, I think there should be some level of improvisation to it. You know, because each time you play it is a different moment in time, isn't it?
I'm going to get you to play another song live for me, yeah? Taking mm-hmm. advantage of the fact that you have a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to play this time?
I can play another one from the new record. Let's try the title track, 10 Million Ways to Decay.
Well, there are 10 million ways to decay. We got one dead in a house fire, two hit by a loose tire, three died climbing electrical wire, four more retired after 5 days lost down in the mire, six crucified on golf with a hail and a seven overdosed on pleasure pills, eight stale bone babies, snow buried nine in the alpine up on a great big mountain, and the numbers get so high that I can't keep counting. Whoa, but the earth keeps spinning, okay, and there's 10 million ways to decay. Yeah.
Count them up then.
We got ovicide, feticide, infanticide, infratricide, matricide, patricide, and parasite. There is a regicide, deicide, cyanide, formaldehyde, drowning tide, suicide, homicide, and genocide. And we decided to do it by herbicides, pesticides, and nematicides. No matter the size, no matter the mass, get yourself drowned in mustard gas or phosphorus upon a mountain pass or in the grass. There's paras, green, chlorine, fluorine, nicotine, and benzene, and methyl mercury in the blood flowing to your brain. Yeah. And there are 10 million ways to decay. Oh, well, you might freeze on the concrete, or the state police might kick you off the streets and send you east. If you're native, you'll be found on the ground in a new town that you ain't too familiar with. But there's a price to be indigenous and drunk, so a disingenuous punk will throw you in a trunk, and he gonna take you where the wheat grows and the snow and sleep blows, and it's 40 degrees below zero. Time to meet your hero. He's your protector and your neighbor and your savior, acting on his best behavior out in the middle of the storm and letting murder be the norm. So in the darkness, hear him say, and there's 10 million ways to decay. Well, the number of ways I die, they begin to amaze me, like 10 to the power of something crazy. I got despots like Paul Pot, Crystal Knock, forgetting not jumping off roof tops of white cops, ringing out gunshots at black teenagers, cause they belong in the ground or in cages. Got our children working all day for shit wages. It's all old news being written in the pages of the newspapers for ages and ages. So what's gonna save us from the outrages? It's a mistake. Dhaka, Bangladesh, making clothes for Joe Fresh, and their building collapse. That's 1130 dead, so we can wear $11 caps on our heads. And with that cap on your head, you might find yourself dead in your bed in suburbia for wearing a turban. You thought you deserved a life, but they serve you a knife in the night. And like that, you are an unwilling martyr, and still there's 4,000 slaughtered indigenous daughters that white men got out of way. And there are 10 million ways to decay. Disrespect it when I talk like this, and you get quite pissed cause I was born with a death wish, and that's why I'm always acting like this. I'm climbing up a cliff, I'm jumping in a ditch. I never heard the fly that got eaten by the fish complain when she ended up as food for the fish's brain, and fish's brain food for human beings. It's all the same going up the chain. Life feeds on life, and besides there is war, stress, storm, strife, crack pipes, hepatitis, men at night. You might run a red light and expedite your end of life. Oh, and I know it's taboo to say, but there are 10 million ways to decay.
That That's Peter Willie Youngtree with the title track from his forthcoming album. It's entitled 10 Million Ways to Decay. Mm-hmm. And I thought at one point you were channeling a little bit of Hank Snow there. I've been everywhere.
You know, it's funny. I wrote that song listening to Notorious B.I.G.
Like, oh, really?
I was listening to a lot of Notorious B.I.G., particularly one song, Notorious Thugs with Bone Thugs and Harmony. Notorious B.I.G., I think, is a great folk artist and not looked at that way sometimes, but he has some good folk songs about his life and his experiences and his lived experiences, struggles. But what I really liked about Notorious B.I.G. is how he drops rhymes. He messes with where the rhyme flows in relation to the rhythm and the beat structure coming in, you know. Rather than dropping on the four, he'll go over the bar line to the one and drop the rhyme there, and then he'll drop a word that doesn't rhyme, and all of a sudden that creates a whole new sequence of rhymes. And I really listened to this song like 50 times in a day, and I was trying to write a hip-hop song. And then when I finished it, I put folk chords under it. And I was like, oh my God, it just sounds like I've been everywhere.
but it's a really cool song. I'm really looking forward to hearing the recorded version of that.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty fun.
I think the recording sounds cool. My band is just fantastic, and they love playing that song, and we have a lot of fun with it. You know, obviously there's a lot of socio-political stuff in there, and then there's kind of the more just fun and humorous stuff, and all related to dying, so... And social justice in ways. So, yeah.
I get the impression it'll probably become a live favorite as well.
It's becoming that with the band at home. You know, the crowds are really responding to that song at home. I mean, in Newfoundland, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Obviously, you mentioned the new album coming in 2018, mm-hmm. probably springtime.
Yeah.
What are your plans for the rest of the year once that album's released?
I have no definitive plans right now, Jan. I had planned that the album would be further along by now, and I would, yeah, I would love to tour. I will tour again. There's no doubt about that. I'd love to do a nationwide tour, and I'd love to get over to Europe. But as of right now, all that's kind of still just an idea, and the tangibles of that have not worked out at all yet.
But once the album comes, everything will come together.
Yeah.
It's been great to have you join us today. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
My name is Peter Willie Youngtree. I don't think there's any other ones of me. You can Google that and find me. My website is pwyoungtree.com, and that can get you everything, YouTube and Facebook and all that sort of stuff. And you can contact me through there. Pwyoungtree.com.
We have time for one more song.
Sure.
What are you going to play for us?
I could do another one from the new album, perhaps. This is another one that's becoming a live favorite. I co-wrote this one with the album's producer, Chris Kirby. I went to him and told him I wanted to write a song that was catchy and sing-alongable and couldn't help tapping your feet to, and that was undeniably just about dying. And over the course of, I think, 2 sessions, we wrote this song. It's called Dirt Party.
Ever since the day that she got fired, Kelly has been living on a string. She sold most everything she had acquired. She come to see that stuff don't mean a thing. So she sold her house, she sold her El Camino, yeah. And she gave that cash all to the Sally Ann. She said, I'm broke, but that don't bother me no, 'cause it won't mean shit when I'm in the sand. She said you might as well be a blade of grass, a bump on a log, a splinter in the ass. Yeah, you better off trying to make some friends, yeah, 'cause we're headed for that dirt party. Ha ha. Now Charlie, he was in love with his body, and he'd check that mirror 50 times a day. He'd give himself a wink and he'd say, Lordy, please, God, don't ever take these looks away. But he was up against the laws of time and physics, and he couldn't fight the migration of his hair. So he bought himself a Jaguar and a Rolex. Yeah, but it was too bad, Charlie, 'cause no one cares. I said, you might as well be a blade of grass, a bump on a log, a splinter in the ass. Yeah, you're better off trying or to make some friends, yeah, 'cause we're headed for that dirt party. Woo, we're all headed for that dirt party. All right. And try our best not to be forgotten. We might get ahead, but we'll never win, 'cause in the end we just wind up rotten, yeah, like a bunch of turnips in a compost bin. I said you might as well be here, oh, a blade of grass, a bump on a log, a splinter in the ass. Yeah, you're better off trying or to make some friends, yeah, 'cause we're headed for that dirt party. Yeah, and we'll be pushing daisies at that dirt party. Oh, we're all headed for that dirt party.
That's Peter Willie Youngtree with Dirt Party, a new song from his forthcoming album, 10 Million Ways to Decay. And thanks again, Peter.
Thank you.
That was absolutely fabulous.
Fun. Thank you.